أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of Allah from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. We need to remind ourselves the reasons why Shaitan was expelled, because those are the same characteristics whereby he tries to influence us. Number one was his arrogance. He knew what was right, yet he refused to accept. Number two was his defiance. He knew what was wrong, yet he deliberately committed it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We ask for help and guidance from Allah for three reasons. Number one, we believe He is Allah, the absolute perfect being, and therefore the source of all perfection, and therefore any goodness and any guidance that we hope to achieve necessarily will originate and flow down from Him to us. And secondly, we ask for His help and guidance because we believe He is Rahman. Each and every one of us is an expression, a manifestation of His Rahmah, of His love, of His mercy. And therefore we seek His help and guidance. And thirdly, we turn to Him because we believe He is Rahim. His mercy is abundant. His love and care and compassion is continuous. And therefore we ask for His help. To the extent that we qualify ourselves to deserve, to receive it, by accepting Him and by submitting ourselves to His will, to that extent His rahmah flows. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and our greetings and our expressions of love and loyalty to the Holy Prophet, that man who managed to reach the maximum possible perfection for any human being, for two reasons. Number one, his understanding of who God is, of how God works, was the maximum possible for any human being. And secondly, the Holy Prophet managed to reach the pinnacle of perfection because in all aspects of his life, he was the most humble and submissive to the will of God. And we send our salutations and greetings on his holy progeny, who followed him to their utmost capacity, and therefore they were closest to him, and therefore they were the most perfect beings after him. And especially so on the third holy Imam, whose commemoration we have congregated now in this holy month. Scholars of Islam, elders of Islam, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. With the beginning of the holy and sacred month of Muharram, we, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, begin the ritual of mourning and lamentation and weeping and the commemoration of the event of Karbala. It's an amazing history in our Muslim Ummah, the event that occurred then. Our Imams of the Ahlul Bayt have encouraged us. No, before encouraging us, they practiced it themselves. They mourned, they wept, and they lamented. One. Two, they even encouraged those who came in their presence to do so. Three, they also left very clear instructions that this should be commemorated on a public level. There should be an assembly, a congregation, a gathering where the events are commemorated, where there is weeping. Four, they even promised, they even instructed that there is tremendous reward for these actions of mourning and lamentation. Generally speaking, in our Sharia, it is discouraged to engage in excessive mourning and lamentation for our deceased. So for example, There is a narration in some of the books of our Sunni brethren which says that any lamentation which leads to the beating of your cheeks or the tearing open of your shirt and then speaking out words which is in protest and complaint to God about what has happened is to be discouraged. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَطَمَ الْخُدُودِ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ وَدَعَ بِدَعْوَةِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ However, we need to qualify this. The Holy Prophet, may peace be upon him, observe what one of the compilations of the hadith, the Sahih al-Bukhari, in the book which discusses the funerals, in a section which deals with what the Prophet did when he saw his own son dying. Ibrahim was a child, a son gifted to the Holy Prophet in the 8th year of Hijrah, in the month of Dhul Hajj. In the 10th year of Hijrah, in the beginning months, in the Rabi'ul Awwal, Ibrahim died. Anas bin Malik reports that in company with the Prophet, we went to the residence of Abu Saif, the ironsmith, whose wife was breastfeeding the Prophet's son, Ibrahim. The Prophet picked up that young infant, 1 year and a few months. He brought him close to his body. He smelled his fragrance. He kissed him. On another occasion, when Ibrahim was about to die, the companion saw that the Prophet began to cry. Abdurrahman bin Auf is reported to have said, "Wa anta ya Rasulullah? And you also are crying and mourning publicly?" Implying that crying is a manifestation of protest and complaint to God. What is happening to me? And why this loss and separation? And the Prophet says, "No, innaha rahmah." These tears are not complaint, they're compassion. "Inna al-'ayna tadma' wa inna al-qalba yahzan wa inna la naqulu illa ma yurdi rabbana." We never speak any word but that which pleases our Lord. We're not protesting, we're not complaining. Our eyes flow with tears. Our hearts feel sad. وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ Ibrahim, you're dying. You're being separated from us. We feel grieved. We feel sorrowful. And therefore we cry. Oh, the Prophet did it in his lifetime. Would then we be surprised if he were to be alive and witness what happened to his beloved grandson, that he would also cry even more? You know, the experience of grief and sorrow and mourning depends on several factors. Number one, it depends on the relationship, the degree of relationship of the deceased to the bereaving person. One. Two, it depends. Is this person who is deceased a child or a parent or a spouse? The most intense grief is for the loss of spouse or for the child and lesser so for the parent. Number three, depends also how the person dies. The intensity of the grief will depend. Was it sudden or was it slow? And therefore you were expecting and therefore you had time to prepare. Number four, how did the death occur? Was it normal circumstances or was it a merciless massacre? Number five, what was the personality of the deceased? Was he an ordinary person or was he an extraordinary grandson of the Holy Prophet? All these factors together convince us definitely if the Prophet did live up until the time when this massacre did occur, there would be no doubt that what his grandsons, the holy imams of the Ahlul Bayt, instructed us, that's exactly what the Holy Prophet would have said and done. And therefore, we have this famous tradition from Imams of the Ahlul Bayt that إِنَّ الْبُكَاءَ وَالْجَزَعَ مَكْرُوهٌ لِلْعَبْدِ فِي كُلِّ مَا جَزَعَ Every lamentation, when it becomes excessive, And every sort of complaint and wailing and mourning is to be discouraged. ما خلا جزعل ما خلا البكاء على الحسين بن علي فإنه فيه مأجور. Except for the massacre and the grief expressed and experienced for Hussein son of Ali, may peace be upon them both, there you will be rewarded. And now observe the amount of reward that's promised. Very quickly, before we begin these rituals of mourning, we need to remind ourselves, what is it that we are required to engage in? And why? What is the purpose of this mourning? And every time we attend these congregations, we need to think, we need to reflect. Am I achieving the purpose for which this ritual has been recommended and emphasized? So for example, we have riwayat which say, number one, whoever engages in mourning and lamentation for the third imam, all his sins will be pardoned, however plenty they may be. One. So observe the hadith. Ya Fudail, man zakarana aw dhukirna indahu fakharaja min aynihi mithlu janahi dhubab غفر الله له ذنوبه ولو كانت مثل زبد البحر. Fudail, listen, if you congregate and if you commemorate and in the process you cry even a small amount of tear, as small as is the span of the wing of a fly, all your sins will be forgiven, even if they may be as plenty as the particles of foam on the ocean. One. Two, not only will sins be pardoned, however plenty they are, two, all sins will be pardoned, even if they were prominent sins. So the eighth holy imam is reported to have said, فَعَلَى مِثْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ فَلْيَبْكِ الْبَاكُونَ. If ever you are to grieve for anyone, it should be for Hussein عليه السلام. فَإِنَّهُ يَحُطُّ الذنوب العظام. The process of grieving for Hussein enables you to qualify for the pardoning of all sins, no, even major sins, even prominent sins. Amazing, something is happening. No, something should be happening in the process of mourning, whereby a transformation is taking place, the effect of which is, I'm a changed person, my sins are forgiven. Question, how? Just observe. Three, not only will there be pardoning of my sins, one, however plenty, and not only pardoning of my sins, however prominent, but I will gain protection from the fire of hell. Observe this riwayah. Number three, man dhukirna indahu, the sixth holy imam says, whosoever is reminded of our tragedy, fafadhat aynahu, and both his eyes now flow with tears. حرم الله وجهه على النار. God will now prohibit his body to be ever burned or ever touched by the fire of hell. Oh, I managed to get immunity through mourning? Question, how? Is it just the ritual of attending, or is there something more? Number four, it's not only pardoning of sins, be they plenty, not only pardoning of sins, be they prominent, not only protection from the fire of hell. Number four, the riwayah says that on the day of judgment, you shall come in the state of being pleased and happy and glad. That's a paradox. You're sad here, but you'll be glad there. Man ذُكِّرَ بِمُصَابِنَا, whosoever is reminded of our tragedy. فَبَكَى وَأَبْكَى لَمْ تَبْكِ عَيْنُهُ يَوْمَ تَبْكِ الْعُيُونَ. He shall never feel sad on that day. Number five, not only do we get pardon of sins, even if there are plenty, or pardon of sins, even if they are prominent, or protection from the fire of hell, but number four, if we engage in mourning, we will be pleased and happy on that day. No, our hearts will become pure on that day. Something is happening here to purify us. Observe. من جلس مجلسا, whosoever attends an assembly, a congregation, يحيى فيه أمرنا. There is a revival, a reminder, a commemoration of our event. The effect is, لم يمت قلبه يوم تموت القلوب. There will come a day when there will be hearts which will be polluted, which will be deviated, which will be degraded. No, they'll be dead. But your heart will be alive. It'll be pure. Question, why? Number six, not only is there pardon of sins, whether they're plenty or prominent, not only is there protection, not only will we be in the state of being pleased on that day, though we're sad here, and not only will we have our hearts purified, but more than that, we shall be proximal, we should be near, we shall be in the companionship on the day of judgment as the process of judgment is taking place with the holy souls. The eighth holy Imam says, من تذكر مصابنا وبكى لما ارتكب منا. Whosoever remembers us, and then he cries for the tragedy that occurred on us. كان معنا في درجتنا يوم القيامة. On the day of judgment, he shall be with us. He shall not be neutral. He shall not be on the opposite side. He shall be with us. Question, why? Is it just the ritual of mourning? Or is there something more? Number seven, not only is there pardoning of sins, not only is there protection from the fire of hell, not only is there pleasure on our face on that day, not only is there purification of the heart and proximity to the pure souls, more than that, we will be guided and will be permitted to enter paradise. من ذكر الحسين, or rather, من ذكر الحسين عنده فخرج من عينه من الدموع مقدار جناح الذباب كان ثوابه على الله. Whosoever cries, the reward will not be given by anyone but by God. God feels obliged to reward. ولم يرضى بدون الجنة. And if Allah wants to reward, He will be satisfied with nothing less than paradise. Question, how? Just the participation in the ritual of mourning will qualify me to enter paradise? How? Number eight, once you enter paradise, there is eternity. The riwayah says, بَوَّأَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا يَسْكُنُهَا أَحْقَابًا. This permanence, eternity. Number nine, not only is there eternity in paradise, there is progress to higher and ever higher levels. The riwayah says that, إِنْ سَرَّكَ أَن تَكُونَ مَعَنَا فِي الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى فِي الْجِنَانِ. If you want to be with us in the higher echelons and the stations in paradise, فَحْزَنْ لِحُزْنِنَا وَفْرَحْ لِفَرَحِنَا. You must mourn and weep when we weep, and you must be happy when we are happy. No, there's one final stage of reward that's promised, which is indescribable. The riwayah says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ ثَوَابٍ إِلَّا الدَّمْعَةَ فِينَا. For every act of virtue, there is a specific reward which can be described, except for one particular act of worship. Of course, there are other acts, but this is one prominent example. The act of worship whereby you experience grief and you express mourning for us, for that Allah has promised a reward which cannot be described. Question, why and how? Allow me to elaborate. If I'm to participate in this gathering of mourning and thereby a change comes in me, whereby I now qualify to be forgiven, something should happen to me during this process. What is that? If you look at the Quran, who is it that God forgives? In Surah Ali Imran, that's chapter 3. In ayah number 135, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرُوا. Those people who have committed serious crimes, or they've hurt their own nafs by disobedience to the commander of God. And later on, they remember God and they feel remorseful, and then they ask for forgiveness, then definitely Allah does grant His special forgiveness. You know why? ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And he realizes that there is no power who can forgive me other than my Lord. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they do not persist in their evil doing. Three conditions. One, remembrance of God. Two, penitence. Three, non-persistence. Then, أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. For them, there is forgiveness. If the Ahlul Bayt then instruct me and tell me, the Ahlul Bayt who are inseparable from the Qur'an and who will not speak anything which is against the Qur'an, they tell me and they guide us that if you participate in this gathering of mourning, the end result is your sins will be pardoned. And according to this ayah of the Qur'an, the pardoning of the sins means remembrance of God, one, penitence, two, non-persistence, three. That means somehow during the mourning processes, these three features should be developing within me. If I listen to the sacrifice and the struggle of Imam Hussein, it should remind me of God. If I listen to the sacrifice of the holy souls and their perfection, somehow I should be reminded of my imperfection. Or do I have the characteristics of those evil ones who carried out this massacre? Do I feel remorseful? Do I feel hatred for that evil behavior? Do I feel a sense of remorse for my shortcoming? If I were to be there, which side would I belong to? Would I be neutral? Would I be silent? Would I be unwilling to help? Would I be on the opposite side? Would I be on the supporting side? And number three, once I realize where I stand and I feel remorseful, I ask for forgiveness and thereby I change. Once I change, I don't persist in my evil doing. One sign of whether I am participating in the mourning in the manner in which the imams have asked us to perform it, is to internally check, am I undergoing this change or not? Look at the other ayah in Surah Zumar, chapter 39, in ayah number 53 to ayah number 55. Again, there's a description. Who is it that will deserve to be forgiven? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O my servants, those who have wronged themselves, those who have disobeyed, those who have ignored and willfully and deliberately ignore and neglected and disobeyed me, don't be despondent, don't despair of the mercy of God. You know why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Recognize the expansive and comprehensive mercy of God, He'll forgive everyone. Why? إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Definitely, there is no one but He who is all forgiving of the past sins, who is all merciful of the future. But there are conditions. Condition number one for me to be pardoned is I should not feel despondency. One, no despair. Two, in addition to that, there should be repentance. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Turn back to your Lord penitently, remorsefully. Three, in addition to lack of despondency, in addition to penitence, number three, وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. There should be obedience. And number four, in addition to that, there should be obeisance. وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. And follow all which is the best which God has revealed unto you. Notice, if during the process of mourning, somehow I understand and know the evil character who carried out this dastardly massacre, and I begin to feel hatred for those evil characteristics, and then I look at myself, And I find some of the same characteristics, maybe the same degree, maybe to a medium degree, maybe to a low degree, also exist in me. Do I feel remorseful? One. But I shouldn't feel despondent. Two. Do I then feel a sense of obeisance? Do I feel a sense of obedience? If yes, I qualify through the process of mourning to be forgiven. Three. We're told that if you participate in mourning, you will be protected from the fire of hell. What does the Quran tell us? Who is it that will be protected from the fire of hell? Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, ayah number 90, describes the scenario on the day of judgment. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The final trumpet will be blown, and the majesty of the Lord shall manifest itself. And there is no single living being either on the earth or in the heavens but that will swoon to death. Illa man shaa Allah. Except a category that will be exempted. And then you will see the mountains. They're fixed. But they're not fixed. It's the end of the world. Actually, they're moving. The physical world is coming to an end. And then the new world will be ushered in. When that new world gets ushered in, you'll get two types of people. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. Whoever has done something good and has persistently followed up with it and now has got the habitual lifestyle of goodness and has come intact, undamaged on the day of judgment, he shall be rewarded. One group. The other group, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ. However, who fails to perform and therefore fails to reform. And now his character is deformed. His world view and his vision and his belief is incomplete. And therefore his behavior is evil. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَكُبَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. Definitely they shall be dragged and they shall be sent to the fire of hell. هَلْ تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Oh my Lord, why am I being punished? Well, this is the exact consequence of your deeds. Notice, protection from the fire of hell means I have reformed myself, my A's and my B's and my C's, my actions, A, my beliefs, B, and my character, C. Somehow, during the process of mourning, if there is a change, a transformation that takes place in these three areas in my life, that is when I can qualify to receive the protection from the fire of hell. Otherwise, there are many other human beings who will feel sympathy for suffering, especially if the suffering is immense. They won't qualify for their sins to be forgiven or for their lives to be protected from the fire of hell. Let me stop here for the moment. In conclusion, we should take this opportunity as a chance for renewal, for spiritual renewal, for growth inside, for a spiritual rejuvenation and revival. We should become a different person. How? Number one, when we come to know who is Imam and the good qualities that made him succeed. And when I come to know what are the evil qualities of those who he fought against too. Then I begin to grow from inside once I know these facts. How do I grow? I grow in hatred towards what is evil. I grow in love and attachment to what's good. And three, it's not enough to know. And how do you know that you are growing or not? Is there any signs you can show? Every one of us should check within ourselves internally. Is there a sense of obedience, obeisance, penitence, remembrance, and turning back to God? And the love for goodness developing in me and the hatred for evil developing within me? I will gradually begin the process of achieving the purpose for which these mourning rituals have been recommended. Assalamu alaikum. Ya Aba Abdullah, our expressions of love and loyalty to be to you, O Hussein, son of Ali. وَعَلَى الْأَرْوَاحِ الَّتِي حَلَّتْ بِفِنَائِكَ. And on those holy souls who perfected themselves and who struggled and who sacrificed. وَعَلَى أَوْلَادِكَ وَعَلَى أَصْحَابِكَ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.